Good morning. We're on the second Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming. The second Sunday in which we are preparing for the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, of the baby. Preparing to receive Christ more fully. Of course, hopefully, somewhere along the line, we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior into our hearts. But somehow, sometimes we kind of drift a little bit. And I think this is what the scriptures are talking to us about today. I first have to share how much I enjoyed having these two scripture readings next to each other, with Paul saying, welcome one another, and ending saying, may the God of peace and joy just fill you up. And the next scripture, John the Baptist saying, repent, you brood of vipers, who told you you could flee from the wrath to come? May the God of peace and joy fill your hearts. It just was beautiful comedy to inspire throughout the week. But there are some really important things that we need to talk about. We need to talk about repent. And we've talked about this before. Do you remember what repent actually means when you literally translate it? Yes, to turn and go in a new direction. To turn and go in a new direction. Sign language, kind of like a hook in golf. To turn and go in a new direction. So we're talking about movement, which, you know, I do. We're talking about movement. It's not a stationary thing. Being in relationship with God is not about standing still. And even being centered in the peace of Christ is not necessarily a static or a stationary thing. We're moving. And we need to turn and go in a new direction, to turn away from anything that would pull us from the presence of God, to turn away from our shame and our guilt and our selfishness and our self-centeredness, our fears, our doubts, just to turn and go in a new direction. And sometimes if we indicate that change needs to happen, then people might think, well, then we're doing something bad. We're doing something wrong. And I want to lift up that change doesn't necessarily mean it's bad or it's wrong. It's just that it needs to improve. You see, if you've got a B+, that's good, but you could go for an A, huh? Right? We need to improve. And so sometimes we actually do find ourselves wandering far from where we need to be. And we're doing something wrong. But a lot of times, we just maybe have drifted a little from where we really were headed, where our real goal is, and we just need to make a course adjustment to turn and go in a new direction. Sometimes it's hard to know which direction to go in. I personally love road trips. I love road trips. And I love driving. I love driving for miles and miles and hours and hours. It soothes my soul. And I have, on many occasions, studied the map intently, saying, oh, I'm going on this highway, and just outside of whatever community, I'm going to pick up a different highway to keep headed in this direction. Generally, I'm heading east. And I get on the highway, and I'm headed, and I pass through the community, and I'm looking for the road sign that's going to take me to the new highway that's going to keep me headed east. And when I get to the exit, it says, highway XYZ, north or south. And I thought it looked like the highway was running east to me. I don't know if I'm going north or south on that highway. Wow, which exit do I take? And sometimes I have guessed wrong and ended up heading in the totally wrong direction, in which you need to make a U-turn. I have a good friend who tells me, it's not an adventure until you make a U-turn. And I have been on many adventures. But I would lift up that life is an adventure with God. and making a U-turn is okay. I would hope that many of you, perhaps most of you, maybe all of you, have experienced that exciting adventure where you ended up someplace with God that you never in your wildest dreams imagined you'd be going. You see, that you started out somewhere along the road and God helped you to make this U-turn and you ended up somewhere you didn't ever dream you were going to go, but it was an amazing adventure. Life is an adventure. It's a beautiful adventure. One of my favorite places to drive, in the Bay Area. I love to drive this little stretch. It's a horrific place to drive in terms of traffic. It's just nasty. It's confusing. The off-ramps are awkward and difficult, usually jam-packed, hard to change lanes, but I love it because it amuses me. I love it because you're driving along the bay, between Berkeley and the bay right there. You're headed north. And the road sign says, literally, 580 west, 80 east. I'm going west and east at the same time when I'm actually headed north. It is hard sometimes to know really what direction you're headed. And sometimes we find that we've gotten on the wrong highway, not because we're doing something wrong, we just drifted, or we couldn't get to the exit. There was too much traffic to merge. And we need to repent and go in a new direction. Find that off-ramp to make the U-turn and get back headed the right way. All of us, taking time to examine our lives, to see the journey we're on, to make sure that we're still following our Savior. Prepare the way of the Lord, the way we're going somewhere together. Make it ready. And then, John says, bear fruit that would do honor to your repentance. Bear fruit that would do honor to your repentance. What does that even mean? What does that fruit look like? It's a wonderful thing to try to sign something. You know, when you change it to a new language, that's when you really get to wrestle with what you're talking about there. What does that even mean, to bear fruit? It's not a concept that just visually goes through. What does that mean? So he turned to Paul, who reminds us in Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what we're talking about. When you're bearing fruit, when you're turned away from that which separates you from God, when you've turned away from the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the fears, the doubts, the shame, when you turn away from that into the light, then the Spirit infuses you with these fruits. It's not something that you sit down and say, okay, today I'm working on joy. I mean, you can kind of do that, but that's not what Paul's really talking about. The fruits of your repentance, the fruits of the Spirit, are a gift that's given to you. It manifests itself in your life through these fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things become evident in your life. And we are to take that and share it everywhere we go. So, for example, I had a wonderful, wonderful experience this summer. There's a lot of difference between living in the Valley and living in the South Bay. A lot of difference. And not all of it is exciting and uplifting. But one thing that I truly enjoy is the produce. We have good produce in the South Bay, but the valley tops it. I love peaches. I totally love peaches. And one of the wonderful things about being pastors is that people often bring produce from their trees and such and share it with us. And so sometimes people say, oh, our peach tree is just overloaded. Here's some peaches, and oh, I celebrate. So don't you know, Sunday, August the 8th, I get home from church to throw the bags in the car because we're leaving on vacation, and there on the counter, my husband has brought home from his church a box lid like this that, I'm not exaggerating, is piled like this with peaches. Oh my gosh, and they were so beautiful. And we're leaving today. There's no way these peaches are gonna last till we get back. Okay, kids, we're gonna wash them up and take them with us. So we're at the sink, we wash them up, we pack them carefully so they're not bruising each other and take them to the car with us. There's no way we're gonna eat this many peaches in a week anyway, right? And there's no way we have time to do anything else with them. So we drive down to Southern California. We get out of the car, and there's the people there to help us into the hotel. I say, you want a peach? Oh my gosh, wasn't that exciting? They did. There's the security guard, you want a peach? Big security guard, you want a peach? Looked over there a little while later, he's off to the side eating this peach. They're the kind that you eat them and you like drink them, you know that? Oh, they're so juicy. People at the night check-in, oh, they wanted those peaches. There was a bowl of oranges there for other guests, so we're putting our peaches in. Other people coming in to check in, we're handing them peaches. The next day we went to breakfast. They have the breakfast place there in the free, and there's a woman there helping, though, and she's got her little tip jar. Now, you know, we're a little short on cash this year. I said, I don't have a tip for you, but let me bring you a peach. Oh, she was ecstatic. This was better than a tip. I said, a peach for now, a peach for later. Oh, nice. Everywhere we went, handing out this peaches, and people were ecstatic to receive them. Now, just think then, people. If everywhere we went, we were thinking of the fruits of the Spirit and passing them out, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, everywhere we went, we had this basket of delectable fruits of the Spirit that we were doling out everywhere we went. People would be so excited when we came. They don't even have to know us. They would be reduced to children on Christmas morning with their socks full for the first time. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting what's in here. People really would enjoy this. This is what John's talking about. This is what Paul is talking about. Produce fruits that truly honor your repentance, that truly honor that you have turned away from this other stuff. I mean, imagine if we'd showed up with this box of beautiful fruits, and I said, you want a peach? And they said, yes. And I said, oh, let me pull the worm out first. What? Is that, they're going to go, oh, yeah, no, thanks. Right? No, we're working on turning away from that, all that. That decay, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the fears and the shame, all that tears us down, just turning away from that and allowing ourselves to be filled with the light of the love of God, with that joy and peace that Paul talks about. So that as we move through our lives, as we travel on our journeys, we're passing out these fruits of the Spirit everywhere we go. And we don't have to apologize for the worm in this one, or, oh, there's, you know, this little rotten spot, but if I just scrape that out, you can have this, ew, right? No, sharing the beautiful, rich fruits of the Spirit. Well, so sometimes people say, well, Pastor, what do you want us to do differently then? You say we need to change, to go in a new direction. What can we do differently? Individually, then, we're spending time, making time, guaranteeing our time, taking out your calendar and making an appointment with God, if that's what it takes, to make sure that you have time every day in this Advent season. Every day, spending time with God, receiving that peace and that love. As a community, that we work together to make sure that we're sharing the fruits of the Spirit in this world that is so hungering to know this. Again and again and again, Paul is talking about that Jesus is Lord of the Gentiles, which is everybody then, not just the chosen people or the religious ones or the Christians. Jesus is for everyone. How do we share that beautiful message? How do we work together as a congregation? One of the things that happens often in congregations is that different groups get involved doing different things. And they're all really good things, but they kind of stay isolated from each other. I love that this congregation really does work together, different groups supporting each other in their projects. It's beautiful. I want to see that expand. For example, last year, the congregation gave a living Christmas card to the community, a beautiful gift. How many people in here right now were part of that? Let me see. Pretty much a lot of people. The new people aren't. That's great. That's fine. You're totally excused. Okay, but not everybody. Most people were. This year, we're doing it again. How many people have signed up to be a part of that this year? Okay. Yeah? Okay. Now then, here's something. Sometimes people go, you know what, though, Pastor, I just can't stand, literally cannot stand outside and do that. Or two, I can't do cold. I really can't be in the cold. Or I don't know how to bake cookies. They always burn. Or, you know, there's a list, and there can be legitimate. But what about this? What about if you pray? You say, I'm going to be out of town. I can't be there, Pastor. Well, what about this? What about if you pray? Pray for that ministry. Pray that God's Spirit will be with all of those who are putting their face to the gospel message that night so that people can really experience those fruits of the Spirit through their interaction with the congregation. What if you pray for those people who really need to have that experience? Pray for all those people, we don't know who they are, but they are hungering and they don't even recognize what they're missing, what they really need. Praying for those people to come this night and experience something magical and holy. What if we had everybody in some way doing something to share that beautiful fruit of the Spirit? Whether it's shaking hands, passing out cookies, being an angel, sitting in your warm home, wrapped in your warm bathrobe, praying on an airplane, flying somewhere else, praying for all those people. What if we, all of us, so that on December 20th, if I were to say how many people were involved, everybody said, I did something to help with that. I did something to share the love of God together, you see. So that it's not a bunch of individuals or even small groups, but it's the entire congregation working as the body of Christ. God's love in human bodies. You see, those kind of things that we can do together, those are small things that we can begin doing together that will change the dynamics of our congregation, will change the dynamics of the ministries we're offering, and will make that faithful witness, bearing fruit that honors our repentance. So truly, we are welcoming all, and all can experience that the love and peace and joy of God are dwelling in us. Will you join me in a prayer? Loving God, we confess that this season gets so busy that we often feel a lot more stress than peace. We ask that you would help us to see clearly the path that will help us to keep connected to you so that we can leave behind the busyness and the stress and carry the love of Christ with us everywhere we go. Loving God, we lift up to you the ministries of our congregation, knowing that so many times we're on the right path, but somehow, sometimes we get a little distracted. We ask that you would help us then, as one people, to find ways to share the fruits of the Spirit. That you would help us to leave behind anything that would cause decay or spoiling of those beautiful fruits, so that what we offer the world is a true honor and a glory to you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
The Lord.